ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಧಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲು ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೌರಾಂಗ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 4 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 29 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 70. ನಾಹಂ ಮಮೇತಿ ಭಾವೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷೇ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಯಾವದ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಮನೋಕ್ಷಾರ್ಥ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹೋ ಹಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್. ನಾಹಂ ಮಮೇತಿ ಭಾವೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷೇ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಯಾವದ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಮನೋಕ್ಷಾರ್ಥ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹೋ ಹಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್. ಪ್ರಭುಸ್ ನಾಹಂ ಮಮೇತಿ ಭಾವೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷೇ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಯಾವದ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಮನೋಕ್ಷಾರ್ಥ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹೋ ಹಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್. ನಾಹಂ ಮಮೇತಿ ಭಾವೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷೇ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಯಾವದ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಮನೋಕ್ಷಾರ್ಥ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹೋ ಹಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್. ನಾಹಂ ಮಮೇತಿ ಭಾವೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷೇ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಯಾವದ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಮನೋಕ್ಷಾರ್ಥ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹೋ ಹಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್. ಲೇಡೀಸ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್. ನಾಹಂ ಮಮೇತಿ ಭಾವೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷೇ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಯಾವದ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಮನೋಕ್ಷಾರ್ಥ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹೋ ಹಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್. ನಾಹಂ ಮಮೇತಿ ಭಾವೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷೇ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಯಾವದ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಮನೋಕ್ಷಾರ್ಥ ಗುಣವ್ಯೂಹೋ ಹಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್. ನ ನಾಟ್ ಅಹಂ ಐ ಮಮ ಮೈನ್ ಇತಿ ದಸ್ ಭಾವಃ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಅಯಂ ದಿಸ್ ಪುರುಷೇ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ವ್ಯವಧೀಯತೆ ಈಸ್ ಸೆಪರೇಟೆಡ್ ಯಾವದ್ ಸೋ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ಮನಃ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಅಕ್ಷ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಅರ್ಥ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಗುಣ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ವ್ಯೂಹ ಎ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಹಿ ಸರ್ಟನ್ಲಿ ಅನಾದಿಮಾನ್ ದ ಸಟಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಮೆಮೋರಿಯಲ್. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As long as there exists the subtle material body composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects and the reactions of the material qualities, the consciousness of false identification and its relative object, the gross body, exist as well. The desires in the subtle body of mind, intelligence and ego cannot be fulfilled without a gross body composed of the material elements earth, water, fire, air and ether. When the gross material body is not manifest, the living entity cannot factually act in the modes of material nature. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the subtle activities of the mind and intelligence continue due to the sufferings and enjoyments of the living entity's subtle body. The consciousness of material identification, such as I and mine, still continues because such consciousness has been extant from time immemorial. However, when one transfers to the spiritual world by virtue of understanding Krishna consciousness, the actions and reactions of both gross and subtle bodies no longer bother the spirit soul. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chaksurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. we are being given only one alternative by Srila Prabhupada. And that one alternative is to become fully Krishna conscious. There is nothing even fractionally less than that. There is not another solution. It's a binary solution. Either this or that. Either fully Krishna conscious or continued false identification and then living with a mind and intelligence and operating on the basis of false ego. There is no third or quasi state. A little of this and a little of that. This is not okay. However, we do experience a little of this and a little of that on the way to full transcendence. So we'll discuss that a little bit. There's an important principle that the spirit soul that has a material mind and intelligence, or said differently, a spirit soul that is bewildered by false ego into thinking, I am this body and things connected to this body are mine. Like Prabhupada would say, society, friendship, love, nation, etc. For a soul that is influenced by false ego like this, he must have a material body made of gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, to act out the desires that exist in the mind and intelligence. Desires primarily reside in the mind, but the mind and intelligence combination is necessary for acting out those desires. If there is no gross body, it cannot act out those desires. This is because the sense objects, here we, the word is yavad buddhimano akshartha. Yavad means as long as. Yavad kriya tavad idam manovai. As long as. And he gives the list. Buddhimana, aksha, the intelligence, the mind, the senses, and artha, the sense objects. They all have to interact with each other, and sense objects have to exist in their gross form. For action to happen, for activity to take place, for time to influence the combination of mind, intelligence, senses and sense objects to interact with each other. And mostly all these activities happen in ignorance. The senses and sense objects for a conditioned soul primarily are in ignorance. They're created from ignorance and they act in ignorance. Ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha. It is only by purification of the mind and intelligence that the senses begin to transform into goodness. Then the activities become purified. It doesn't mean that the senses suddenly change and they look differently. They function differently. And as they function differently, because the mind is functioning differently, this is called Chetodarpana Marjanam, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. As the mind is operating differently, the senses operate differently. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. That is how the senses operate differently. Otherwise, the senses operate with this I and mind conception. This is for me, because I am the enjoyer. That is called acting in the mode of ignorance. Primarily ignorance, and the motivation that drives a person can be passionate or goodness. Can be passion or goodness. But primarily ignorance, because he thinks I am this body. So as long as one operates on this false ego platform, one cannot expect anything transcendental. One cannot expect any transcendental result. We'll talk a little on terms of practical application shortly, but let's just walk through what Prabhupada's teaching us. So then Prabhupada says, when gross material body is not manifest, the living entity cannot factually act in the modes of material nature. For the modes of material nature to manifest activity, like I said earlier, one needs a gross body. However, he says, in this verse it is clearly explained that the subtle activities of the mind and intelligence continue due to the sufferings and enjoyments of the living entity's subtle body. The experience of happiness and distress is in the mind. It is not in the gross engagement of the senses anyway. It is the mind that tells us, this is so nice. For example, let's say, nice ice cream. When the tongue comes in contact with this cold substance that's made from milk or whatever combination of things that are made nowadays to make an ice cream with little fruit in it or nuts in it and vanilla flavor, whatever flavors are there, the tongue comes in contact with the different ingredients in the ice cream. The tongue doesn't say, this is so good. It is the mind that tells us, nice ice cream. Very nice. And this is so good for you. You're enjoying it. Or as soon as you eat ice cream and then you fall sick, then the mind says, come on, you need to exercise a little austerity. Don't just eat whatever comes in front of you. Next time, be careful. And the intelligence says, don't worry, I'll let you know. When the next ice cream shows up, I will let you know that this is not good for you. And the next time another little, scoop of ice cream comes by, and the mind said, remember how nice it was? And the intelligence says, do you remember you also fell sick? Then the mind says, but do you remember it was only for a day? Then the intelligence says, all right, one day is worth it, man. Come on. So the whole happiness and suffering is all in the mind. Actually, the circumstance itself is neutral. But we have impressions, we have conceptions, and we interpret. So for Prabhupada says, one man's food is another man's poison. For someone, the situation is happiness, and for another person, the very same situation is distress. It's a completely different experience for them. So this experience of happiness and distress continues in the mind, or in the subtle body, as Prabhupada is saying here. But it cannot manifest without a gross body. Some expression of it cannot manifest. So now, I was thinking of a practical application for us. Is we are now on this path of Krishna consciousness. Yesterday's verse was Satvaika Nishtha, completely fixed on the, completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. While we're trying to get there, there's a little mixture of things that happens. Sometimes we're fixed in Krishna consciousness. And after those few nanoseconds, we become fixed in something else. Then we try to fix ourselves in Krishna consciousness, something else happens. We move back and forth from a position of our real nature back to a position of conditioned nature. And the progress of Krishna consciousness is that the proportion of time that we are in Krishna consciousness progressively increases. This progress in Krishna consciousness, that means we are more conscious of Krishna out of our material bodily conception of life, more than less. Now it is more or less, there's more than less. So while that's happening, we should understand that within the subtle body, certain desires will continue to manifest. Although the gross senses may have stopped acting in certain gross manners. So I may have stopped smoking, I may have stopped drinking, I may have stopped eating meat. Certain activities must have stopped. But on the subtle plane, those activities may still be happening. Or at least once in a while it might show up its head. Hey, do you remember that, whatever, meatball sandwich? Do you remember the time when all you and your friends had gotten together and you had, whatever, this party, and it was not so bad. We had fun. Or when we drive by, look at something, and it somehow triggers a whole mental picture of all the experiences of the past. But the progress in Krishna consciousness is to let that intelligence tell us, ah, that was past life, you shouldn't really get into it now, and move on. So the subtle activity may be still happening, but the gross activity doesn't happen. That's one level. Another level is that the subtle activity may not happen, but the subtle tendency may show up. This is similar to the discussion we had yesterday. There is gross engagement in activity called papa. Then there is bija, it's in seed form, that is activities there in a very seed-like form. And before that is kuta. Kuta is the tendency. The tendency for something to do. So the tendencies might be there, but the activity, the subtle activity may not come up. It's possible. I mean, that's the progressive stage. Then we know, if I put myself in that environment, I know that my past desires may get activated. So I'm not even going to put myself in that environment. I'm not going to let my mind move in that direction either. And at the next stage, even the kutam, the tendency, goes away. This is progressive stages of Krishna consciousness. So as the mental, material activities are decreasing, what is causing this is a progressive increase in knowledge, jnana, or vidya. Vidya vadhu jivanam. So Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, that section of chapter 3, where it is discussing lust. Lust is that tendency to act on a bodily platform, to act in terms of I and mine. That is what is lust. Because when one acts on the basis of I and mine, one is acting in the mode of enjoyment, selfish enjoyment, separate from Krishna. So the way to, Krishna uses the word language, to kill lust. Lust is a formidable enemy, and the way to kill lust is to awaken one's knowledge, Jahishatrum Mahabaho. Please kill. You must kill this enemy. And in elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the phrase Asanga Shastrena Drudhena Chitva. By a weapon of detachment and determination, you must cut the knot that binds you to this material realm. So yesterday we were hearing how by every mental activity, the knot becomes harder. The counteraction is determination and detachment. The detachment is the awakening of a spiritual conception, or at least operating on the spiritual conception. We may not have realization of it. I am not this body. That realization may not be there, but the knowledge is there. Because we've heard hundreds and millions of times from Srila Prabhupada, we are not this body, you are not this body, we are not this body. So we have the knowledge. So the step to go from knowledge to realization that we are not this body is application. To consider, oh, I am not this body, who is acting? And if I am not this body, how does the soul, what does it look like to be on the soul platform? The soul platform says, the mind and intelligence and false ego are not you. So let me act, or at least make an attempt to act from that soul platform. That's the determination. And our determination doesn't have to be on our own strength. It's the strength of association, the strength of Guru's vani and empowerment that brings us to a stage to say, I'm not going to act on the platform of body and mind or false ego. Even considering that actually solves about 80% of the problem. The rest of the 20 is to actually cut with the acts of knowledge. The same message is in the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter. The set of verses, Shushusho Shraddhanasya, starting there, to Bhidyate Hirdaya Granthis, Chidyate Sarvasamshaya. Chidyate Hirdaya Granthis, Bhidyate Sarvasamshaya. The cutting of the knot of the heart begins with Shushusho Shraddhanasya. Very humbly serving great souls. So in simple language, it is the association of great souls that gives us the empowerment, the determination and strength to stop not only gross activity, but subtle mental material activities. There is no other way. In other ways, by the path of so-called yoga, jnana, karma, what the karma kanda platform does is it doesn't stop gross activity. It takes the gross, it gives a concession for the gross sense activity. Oh, you'd like to drink liquor? Do it in such a manner. You'd like to eat meat? Go to the Kali temple on an Amavasya and you can kill. So it gives you a concession. It sort of legalizes material activity. Jnanakanda helps you stop, or helps one stop, the gross activity, and to a large degree stops the mental activity, but it cannot remove it. That's Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami's discussion in 6th canto. Even with knowledge, a person of knowledge still acts against his own self-interest, ahitam, he says. Because knowledge on its, in and of itself is not powerful unless there is a Vaishnava associated with that knowledge. Or let's say, said differently, unless the knowledge comes by a great soul's speech and instruction. So one may remove papam, one may remove bijam, but kutam can only go away through the path of serving Krishna under the guidance of a saintly person. Shushusho Shraddhadhanasya. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. This Vasudeva Katha Ruchi is Krishna has such fantastic qualities. These fantastic qualities are not something esoteric that people cannot understand. Krishna acts in very blatant manners to simply attract our attention. The qualities of compassion, the quality of protection, the quality of caring. Krishna does all this. Especially this is discussed in the beginning of, in the middle of 8th canto. After Gajendra Moksha pastime is over, Shukadeva Goswami speaks about the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean. And he speaks of the whole pastime in one verse. That the demigods and demons had some strife, and the Lord very nicely helped them when they churned the milk ocean, and moves on. One verse. So Parikshit Maharaj stops him. And so the description is that Shukadeva Goswami is giving Parikshit Maharaj an opportunity to churn the topic even more. And it's not that Parikshit Maharaj doesn't know the pastime. So he asks, whoa, why did the demigods and the demons fight with each other? I would like to know the specific forms of the Lord as the tortoise. Why did he take that form? I also want to know the appearance of the Lord in his feminine form as Mohini Murthy. Can you speak about that? And as he described, he says, I'm actually feeling great happiness now in this stage of my life that I never experienced previously. Because I'm drinking, and he says, I have a conflict of emotions right now. I'm drinking this nectar that you are providing me by your speech of the Lord's pastimes. As I'm drinking this nectar, I'm feeling great excitement and happiness. At the same time, I'm left with such a feeling of yearning that is somehow, whatever I'm receiving is not satisfying enough. I want more. That's my struggle. So can you please speak more about Krishna? So it's described that previously Parikshit Maharaj was, singularly the emperor of the entire world. Top class devotee, Mahabhagavata, the grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthir, Arjuna specifically. All great qualities already manifest in him even by the time he was born, right? In the 12th chapter of first canto, Dhaumya describes all the great qualities of Maharaj Parikshit. In this quality, he will be like Lord Ramachandra. In the quality of giving charity, he will be like, I keep forgetting his name every time. What is that? Maharaj Shibi. In the quality of archery, he'll be like Arjuna. In this quality, he'll be like this great personality. He'll be like that great personality. But Maharaj Parikshit is saying, despite all of this, only now, in the past 7 days, that I'm actually relishing full happiness of my life. Because all subtle, gross activities that are within the material conception have stopped. This is his speaking. We know he's a great personality, but he's saying, I'm so involved in affairs of this world. Now is when I'm actually relishing life. So please speak more. This is the Shushusho Shraddhadhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. The word Punya, it seems, means the cleansing of the heart, especially in relation to Krishna. We use Punya also for karmakanda or material activities. That is not Punya in its true sense. Punya means that which completely cleanses the heart because it is in relationship with Krishna. So then the pastime is narrated. And in that pastime, the Supreme Lord appears in so many different forms. As the specific appearance, the form is called Ajita. He appears in all these beautiful arms and helps the demigods bring the Mandara mountain. Then he becomes a tortoise to act as a pivot for the mountain. So Parikshit Maharaj asks, why did he take that form? Well, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For his enjoyment, he can take any form. And he had this transcendental itch on his back, and it required the Mandara mountain to nicely, you know, give him a nice scratch, and he felt very pleased. Then he acts as Mohini Murthy, or in fact, Dhanavantri, then Mohini. So one pastime, so many different forms of the Lord, for example. So the progressive cessation of gross and subtle activities can only come from hearing of Krishna's qualities, Krishna's activities. Okay, those are some thoughts. Any comments, questions? You want to add something? Yes, Himanshu. Okay, you two can sort it out. Yeah. How do spiritual samskaras get planted on the subtle body?
Yeah.
Because they're spiritual, how can something material like that?
Actually, more in terms of the technique. I was just thinking, like, might be helpful if I had more spiritual samskaras in my subtle consciousness. You know?
Correct.
Like, things that kind of impact. So I guess there's no mechanical way to go about that. It just happens when it happens, or is there a way to...
Well, that's the mechanics of it per se are given in that next verse. Shrunvatam svakatha krishna punya tirtha nishevana hridayantasto hiyavadna. I'm mixing the verses. Shrunvatam svakatha krishna punya tirtha nishevana shavanakya. Oh my gosh, I includes two verses. Hidrantasto yavadrani vidhunoti suhrat satam. Suhrat, as a very dear, well-wishing friend, Krishna cleanses the consciousness. How does he do it? Does he have a brush or chisel? No, that's the mechanics of it. Shrunvatam svakatha krishna. The potency of that sound vibration that is in relation to Krishna makes an indelible impression on the consciousness. Just as other sound vibrations also make indelible impressions. In Sanskrit this is called samskara, in English it's called samskar. Is there. This car or that car? Which do you want? You want to add something to this?
I think the spiritual samskaras, they don't seem, they're more powerful.
Correct. You know, I was thinking about it. In physics, there is a phenomenon called resonance. You know, the tuning of a piano with a pitchfork. Yeah? Tuning fork. So the keys have some vibration, some frequency of vibration. You take a tuning fork, and when this frequency matches that frequency, it's called resonance. Correct? So the material's sound vibration has a particular frequency. Come enjoy me, come enjoy me, come enjoy me. And our own individual volition, if it's in the frequency of I want to enjoy, I want to enjoy, there's perfect resonance. So even if there is the spiritual sound frequency, it doesn't match. There's no resonance. But when our volition is there, I want to serve Krishna, I want to serve Krishna, and the sound, spiritual sound vibration is there, that resonance happens. So which samskara is more powerful depends upon where my volition is. Where's the subtle activity of my mind and intelligence, in what direction it is. So it's a marriage of two, forces. That's the resonance. So we may be hearing and hearing and hearing whole time, but inside if it is, I want to enjoy, I want to enjoy, even subconsciously, we may not be consciously thinking like that, but I want to enjoy, then the resonance will not happen. Only the little once in a while when either we're in the association of a spiritual master, the spiritual master is telling us something or something, then that little resonance, wow, I feel Krishna conscious now. And then goes back. Rasika Manju, you had something?
So when we are hearing, picking up from what you were just responding to Jayadana Prabhu, it depends on our internal disposition. What am I more favorable to? What is my intention? So if my intention is I want to serve, or at least I believe that it is that, I may be so unaware of what my true intention is because I'm completely off or whatever.
Correct.
But I'm hearing at the same time, and I feel that I'm sincere and I want to serve and I have a good mood of service and I understand I have some limitations, all that, but in my heart that it's in the right direction.
It's well-intentioned.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing, and I'm obviously hearing things that
resonate.
Fit well with how I see things.
Correct. It's called filtered.
So now I may have, the first question would be like, oh, so how is it that I know I'm working on right things and I'm hearing the right things? It's accountability within authority. What if my authority is not the kind to, poke me and say, look at that and look at that, and they feel maybe we can't handle more than, you know, living in our own little world. So life just goes on. What is the intervention that happens to make the change?
If we are a little more alert, then it may not be direct poking, but there will be indications to it.
That's the whole point. If those indications
are not... So sometimes we need a more shake-up. Hey, Prabhu. Go ahead.
Yes, but in my experience, some persons don't have that kind of personality. So there's no shake-up that ever happens.
Correct.
And then it's just things keep going and keep going.
Now I'll speak from the perspective of person who's been given the really difficult task of helping other devotees. Okay? I'll speak from that perspective for a moment now. Then I'll speak about as a struggling bhakta. As long as the general direction seems all right, and there are no major, offenses, As the general direction is all right. There's a little stumble here, there's a little stumble there. Every stumble doesn't need to be corrected in, you know, like, poof. As long as the general drift is okay, it's okay. And then there is also, I've come to learn that with each person, a revelation of their own is far more powerful than a person constantly putting them under the microscope and said, you know, you veered left by about 3 degrees and that's not good for you. Or you, you know, it's like the little dashboard in the car that keeps telling you every moment you have to keep looking at the panel, what's going on. That is a little choking. As long as the general drift is all right, you're heading, you want to go to New York and you're heading east. That's a good direction. Before you take the I-65 exit and show up in Huntsville, Alabama or someplace. So if the general drift is all right, it's all right. There is learning experience in that. When there is a major offense waiting or happening, yes, then it's like, check this, work on this.
I'm going back to your question to Guru Maharaj the other day about even financial contributions.
Correct.
So these are again symptoms of no poking happening or...
Correct.
But yeah, the direction is in general maybe right, but apparently there's no stagnancy in devotional service. So it's either going back or you're moving forward, right?
Right. That is not a reason by which someone moves back.
No, it's not. But it seems, I'm just using that as an example.
Fine,
then
I got it.
It tends to then be culture in a
Correct.
Community.
So then there is, so taking that particular example, there is also a sense of attachment. Okay, there are ways of helping one detach. One is you just chop their hands off, so it's a lot easier. Just, whoa, my hands are still here, but I'm moving aside because someone chopped my hands off. Now I'm detached. The other is convincing. The Bhakti Vinod Thakur, what's that called? Humble persuasion? What's that phrase Maharaj uses? Something, some persuasion, so that they will be willingly. This is far more powerful as an experience than chop someone's hands off. Who can do that? Depends. Narada Muni is helping Prachina Barhishat become detached. Not everyone can help anyone and everyone become detached. You can put something in someone's, let's say, consciousness. In that example, Prabhu, it would be nice if you can be more charitable. It's good for you. But because there is attachment, either it doesn't touch, or it's like it creates more apathy. So it has to be brought into discussion in a different way. The fact that it has been discussed and it's a topic is a way that it brings... Okay, some people will still say, oh, I didn't hear that lecture. Was that discussed? Really? When was that discussed? I heard that lecture. Maybe I missed the question or something. That's the second level of filter. But the first level is that the thought's already in the ether, if you will. So those who are a little thoughtful will pick it up. It doesn't have to be specifically, I'm going to chop your hands off to make you detach. It doesn't have to be that way. Then there's the next level of filter. Did you hear that? What did you feel like? What's your thought about that? Yeah, but. You know, it's the yeah, but phenomena. Then there's the third level, to take them from yeah, but to the yeah stage. So it's work, and that's takes a lot more than, I just want to let you know that Rupa Goswami said 50%. If you can't do 50, then just do something, but this is good for you. It won't work. So, and you have to treat each person as an individual. Like a common solution will not work. So it's a little bit more complex. At least in my small world, it's far more complicated than black or white. Most people cannot even handle black or white. It has to be only black or only white. If it is two, then it's difficult.
There's the focus on, I'm eager to hear on, you know, the other side that you said you were going to share.
Yeah.
But there's the focus on that, helping that one person. But
helping
sometimes
one person at a time.
Different people have different things. But a person, two person, three person, whatever, there's an effect of a person in a community also. There's a wave
Correct.
Effect. So like a recent experience where you were sharing that your focus was on those persons to help them, and you didn't see so much how it was impacting other persons.
Correct.
So it's not like I see it as, you know, be gentle and in the powerful way that you're expressing versus chop your hands off. I know you're saying it for an impact, but it's not always like this way or that. It's not like an extreme. I guess that's what I'm saying, that there are other people also in the picture always, and
Correct.
Other people get impacted because other people also have issues. But as a person in a community, I feel like what helps me understand what I should be working on, you know what I mean? If I'm hearing with my filters, everybody else hearing their filters, and I'm not getting any poking or, you know, I'm sure you understand what I'm saying.
I totally understand.
Okay.
I totally understand. My answer is not going to change, except what I'm hearing is, let's say in your case, maybe more poking is necessary, and you might appreciate that. Or that may be a different kind of intervention might be necessary for someone else, but that's necessary. Yes. Correct. Approaches are different, the intensities are different. Totally. So it has to happen on a individual one-on-one basis. To me, that's how it feels. So what's the last statement that I made that kind of, you roll your eyes. Okay, so explain it. Sure.
I don't know how different styles can ever be reconciled. So if, like, from for example, you're sharing an approach to certain things, and as a member, I don't see movements, for example. I'm not saying this is our situation or our community. I'm just expressing
Correct.
Certain experiences. Then how am I to believe that approach makes sense when I also have a different personality? And the more pokey approach or the more straightforward upfront approach is not being done with me also. And how am I supposed to appreciate that this is making movement for others when I'm also not seeing that?
Now I understand what you're talking about. I'd like to take this as a personal discussion, but let me say what the point is. The point is, I like someone to tell me, this is wrong, you're not doing this right, or you're doing this right. Some persons may not be that kind who will do that. They may be subtler or more patient or just not so verbal about it. And so I would appreciate if someone says like that to me. But if I'm not seeing that, even if that other style is making a difference, so how am I to feel that what's being done is right? I want to see either this works or that works. And if this is not work, if this is not how it's going to work for me, I'm not seeing that happen for working either. So how do I know that things are okay? Right? Right. That's the dilemma, or that's the comment. Yeah, Karuna Nidhipro. You want to answer this one? Go right ahead, man.
According to my understanding, that there are two gurus. One is called Chaita Guru, who is inside and detecting what I have to do, what I have not to do. And another is external guru, that which we have accepted as initiation. So in under this circumstance, these two gurus, they can help to choose.
One is Chaita Guru, the other is?
Another is Vaya Guru, means external guru. That means from whom you have taken initiation. So he is the ultimate benefactor. And whatever he says, there is no question of speculating or no question of, you know, judging or becoming judgmental, whatever. So both guru will help. Krishna act as Chaita Guru.
Hmm.
That's it. Most of cases, you know, Krishna detects when our position becomes purified, means then we can know what is going on and what is, we can discriminate what is good and what is bad, everything.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.